For those of you who do not know me, my name is Rick Groves. I've been with Landmark for about 15 years or so. I was a very devout Christian child and decided that the world had a lot more to offer for about 25 years. But God was so patient, so kind, so loving that he just waited. He sat back and said, yeah, you were trained upright. You'll come back. I'm not in any hurry. Remember, with me, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. So I'm not in any hurry. And thank you, Lord, that his story is that for each and every one of us, wherever we are on our journey. You know, again, I'm going to use a Joyce Meyer quote. She said, you know, I'm not where I ought to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I kind of disagree with that. Because wherever we're at, if God's will is omnipotent, if he has a plan, if he knew us in the womb, and he numbers the hairs on our head, and he knows everything about us, he's bringing us through training. You know, there was somebody that came up with a nice little witty acronym, you know, Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Life. And each one of us are being taught lessons because of that. Now, that's not our message today, but that's just a little bit of a freebie to have out there. And there's one other thing that I will share with you as well to think about it, because all of us go through trial and adversity. You know, it's kind of like if you look at a sine wave. You know, it's up, it's kind of okay, it's down, it's back to kind of okay, it's really, really up. And we love the up. The up is real, it rocks. The up is really cool. The down, not so much. But you know, the down is used. God uses everything that happens in our lives for a tremendously positive outcome. I want you to think about it for a moment. When God flooded the earth back in the days of Noah, that ark would not have survived had it not been for the flooding waters that were destroying the earth. God uses the things of adversity to bring us through. I've said many times, Scripture says that we'll come through it. Well, that also implies that you'll go through it. So when you go through it, keep that in mind, that God is using it for a tremendously wonderful reason. So this morning, we're going to use as our basic text, John 18, 37 and 38. John 18, 37 and 38. And this is when Jesus was before Pilate. There's you another one. Jesus used the Jews who had hard hearts. He used the Roman government to crucify his son. That was a horrible, horrible thing that Jesus endured. But look what came out of it. The birth of what that sacrifice offered was the salvation of the entire world. So again, bear that in mind whenever you go through adversity. Okay, John 18, 37 and 38. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. If you're not familiar with the term retorted, it means that you answer very sharply, very aggressively. He was countering Jesus saying, what's truth? What's truth got to do with it? Pilate represents the world that we live in. If you do happen to be taking notes and you want a title for this, our title today is going to be Infinite Opinions, One Truth. So the Bible, in addition to being the story of salvation, if you look starting from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, that is the story of Jesus coming to earth, redeeming us from our sins, reestablishing our relationship with the Father, and bringing us back into the paradise that we lost in Eden. We will drink out of those rivers of beautiful, beautiful flowing living water. But the Bible also, as we're going through it, it's about both spirituality and, more important, practicality. One of the things that I've been doing this week as well in my additional reading is going through the Proverbs. You know, that's a really good thing to go to. 31 chapters of Proverbs, 31 days in a lot of months. Wow, it's kind of amazing the way that that works out. And there's just tremendous things that we can learn in there if we pay attention to it. So it's about practicality. It's about overcoming evil with good. And it gives us instructions on how we should think and how we should live. And it's full of stories and parables to illustrate that. Jesus, it was said, did not speak unless he spoke in parables. And there were two reasons that he spoke that. Because those who had ears to hear, they would understand the parable. They would get what was being revealed. Those who did not have ears to hear, it would seem as foolishness to them. You've got the Christian viewpoint, you've got the worldly viewpoint, and they are in opposition with one another. There's a man that I really enjoy reading. I go back and read his book every several years. I discovered it years ago. A man by the name of Joseph Campbell. I really enjoy stories and I enjoy writing. And Joseph Campbell wrote he was a college professor that wrote a thesis, and basically he turned the thesis into a book, and he called it The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And it was basically that all of the great stories that have been sold throughout the ages, everything from a modern movie to something that was done way back in the day, all follow one of two things. They are either the hero's journey or a stranger came to town. And if you think about it, even in the Bible, that's what we have. The hero's journey, that's Jesus. He is the one that has come to earth. We see the things that happened to him, and we also see the journey that we are placed upon as Christians. We are on that hero's journey. Then you also see the stranger came to town. Like lightning, I saw Lucifer cast down. So the stranger came to town. The stranger became the prince of the air, the enemy of those who are called to God. Stories are incredibly powerful. Facts don't do much. I remember talking to my dad one time, and he was always really into, you know, documentaries and things like that. He wanted to know the facts, and a lot of that is because he was a police officer, a detective. So, you know, give me the facts, ma'am. And so that was his way of looking at the world. And we were talking one time about, well, you know, let's look at the movie Titanic. You know, you sit there and you look, okay, the year that Titanic sank, the number of people that were on board, the number of people who did not survive, the amount of goods that went down to the bottom of the ocean, that's very cold. But when suddenly you see Rose on the helm of the ship and she's got this beautiful necklace, suddenly you connect on a human level. And we all want to connect on that human level. And stories, again, they have power. But just like anything that has power, like a gun. You know, a gun can be used to go out and get food. It can be used to protect oneself. It can be used to commit murder. Stories are the same way. If there's a story about truth and about goodness, then it can be used for good ends. Out of the treasures of his heart, a man's mouth opens and flows and tells those stories. And stories can be true or they can be fake. I remember one time there was a quote that I loved about writing. It said that, what was the term that they used? Nonfiction writers write about the facts. Fiction writers write about the truth. And I'm not going to get into that because that would be a rabbit hole, but there's a sermon that I had called The 99% Truth and how Satan will use that 1% to pervert things. But that's a whole different avenue. Let's think about Donald Trump for just a moment. You know, so for many Americans, depending upon your point of view, he was on the hero's journey. If you had a different point of view, then he was the evil villain that came to town that was destroying America. It all depended upon what your point of view was. The truth is what really happened. Opinion is how it was interpreted, what was happening. So society, you know, especially, and it's not just America, society, people in general, they're filled with very high opinions. And they may or may not have any specific knowledge about what they're opinionated about. But that doesn't change the fact that I still have an opinion. And it doesn't keep anybody from offering their opinion. Now, there's a man by the name of Bill Bullard who was a dean for San Francisco High School years ago, back toward about the turn of the millennia. At his commitment speech, he had a quote that said, "Opinion is really the lowest form of human knowledge. It requires no accountability and no understanding." It's kind of like, you know, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody usually has one. Doesn't mean that it has a whole lot of use. I know my belly button is there, but it doesn't serve a whole lot of purpose for me. But these stories, these opinions, this swaying of belief is used to control people who are rather easy to manipulate. There's social engineering. I guarantee you, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I can tell you that there are groups of people that want to see certain things change in society. And they are using a narrative to have those changes come forth. If you control the narrative, then you also control the people. This is propaganda on steroids. You know, like back in World War II, they would have these bundles of paper that they would drop out, and they would have all of this political propaganda on it. Now all you have to do is go to Facebook, go to CNN, go to Fox, go to MSNBC, go to wherever, watch a billboard on the side, watch any movie that Hollywood is putting out, and you're going to see an agenda that is taking place. I tend to be kind of moderate in my viewpoints, so I tend to stay away from extremely conservative or extremely liberal. Both sides have some really bad ideas. Both sides have some really good ideas. Somewhere in the middle is probably the safest place for us to be, but propaganda is used, and at this point in time, we have a division that is taking place. Now, is God telling us to separate from one another and not love one another, or is God telling us to love one another? Who is the enemy that came to kill, steal, and destroy? So if we look at the motivations behind that, we know where these things are coming from. Now, hopefully there is a slide that we can put up there, Kathy, talking about the difference between fact and opinion. And a fact is something that can indeed be verified, whereas an opinion is simply a belief or a judgment about something. Facts are based on research or observation. An opinion is based on personal view, cannot be verified. A fact, verification is possible. An opinion, verification is not possible. A fact is universally applicable, whereas an opinion varies from one person to the next. Facts you cannot debate. If it's a fact, it's simply a fact. If it's an opinion, then you can argue all day long about it, because opinions have no right or wrong. They can be based upon right or wrong, but opinions as of themselves are simply that. They're opinions. However, both of them share one common thing. They do have the power to influence. So my question for everybody today, are we staying on the side of being influenced by truth, or are we allowing our armor to have chinks in it that we allow ourselves to be swayed by opinion? So there is a gentleman by the name of George Bernard Shaw, a famous writer from many, many decades ago, and he penned that new opinions often appear first as jokes and fancies, then as blasphemies and treason, then as questions open to discussion, and finally as established truth. So let's use an example here. And the Bible says that marriage is between a man and a woman. We started making jokes years ago about the fact of, you know, two guys got married, blah, blah, blah. And then it started kind of seeping its way into the culture. And then it started becoming a way to divide us. And now we're at the point where it's not only okay but and accepted, but it is embraced. And so that's what we see. And again, you can take that to so many different things. I don't know if you're familiar with a man by the name of Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey was the head of the Church of Satan. And I remember years ago, one of the things that he had talked about was that there is something called preparatory preconditioning. We make things happen slowly and incrementally, and then over time, you see that change. It's like the old story about, you know, if you try to put a frog in a pot of boiling water, it'll jump right back out. But if you put the frog in cold water and slowly heat it up to boiling, that frog's done for. People, we are not done for frogs. We see what is going on around us, and we take action about it. So the Christian, we have to guard against popular opinion. You know, we can choose to be politically correct, or we can choose to be scripturally correct. I know that that's where I want to be, because I'm not nearly as concerned about what people think about me when I stand up here. I'm concerned about what God thinks about me when I stand up here. Am I giving His word? Am I doing boldly what He has asked me to do without concern about whether I may offend society or not? You know, I don't want to offend anybody, but if the word of God offends somebody, then it is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting down to the bone and the marrow, doing exactly what it is supposed to do. You know, I've always had the belief that if I come away from a sermon unchanged, unprovoked, and I didn't think about something that was going on in my life, that was wasted 45 minutes. I need to be changed. I need to be molded by that word. So, one of the weapons of propaganda, if you're familiar with hypnosis, you know, hypnosis is also being used in society. If you haven't seen it yet, let me point some things out to you. There's three elements for hypnosis to work. There's suggestion, there's repetition, and there's emotion. Now, if you take a look at it, the suggestion, let's use an example. Oh, if you're not masked, then you are killing people around you. So we keep hearing that suggestion. If you're unvaccinated, if you don't believe that a woman has a right to choose, if, you know, and again, here's something I find really kind of odd. Okay, so my body, my choice, as long as I want to kill another human being, not my body, not my choice if I choose not to put something foreign into my own body. I don't get the logic of that, people. Now, again, I'm not against vaccines. I'm vaccinated. My wife is vaccinated. We'll get our booster. But it's because we choose to do so, not because we are mandated to do so. We have a right. Do you not know that your body is a living temple? Do you not know that you are a living sacrifice? We do things that are honorable to God. We don't do things to serve under the rulership of man. So when you have that suggestion and then it's repeated, and if you look at it, you know, you get that every newscast, every billboard, every sign, magazine articles, you know, TV commercials. There's so many different ways that they are just repeating that same message out there. And then they apply the emotion to it. You know, if you are a dirty individual that isn't vaccinated or not wearing your mask, then you are vile and you deserve our reproach. So we tie that emotion into us. If you believe that women should be able to kill babies and that two guys should be able to get together, if you believe two roosters do make a chicken, then you're good. You are progressive. You love those around you. And then those things become the accepted truth because we keep hearing it over and over and over again. Now, here's kind of what the world thinks, too. The difference between a fact and an opinion is an opinion is what you think. A fact is what I think. As humans, we all tend to justify ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, the only justification that we can have is right here. Is it documented and is it substantiated and is it approved by the Word of God? So you can see the demonic influence at work, and especially if you look at a lot of the posts that are out there online, if you read through a lot of the responses, the suggestions, things that they have, it's amazing how many times that you hear something, well, yeah, you know, and the idiots always get down to the invisible sky man. Well, you know, I do get up to the invisible sky man because he is the one that I serve. And if you are looking for a way to put morality on a spreadsheet, that's pretty hard to do, people. You know, you can't, you can say that certain actions are good, certain actions are bad, but you know, you can do the same action and it can be good or bad depending upon your heart. You know, I can be with my wife and that is a good, blessed thing. If I was an idiot and was with somebody else's wife, that is a horribly bad, blasphemous thing. Same action, different heart. Now, if you look at the world around us, more and more we're seeing those who are offended by morality and righteousness. And Ricky Gervais, I mean, I don't think that he's an upstanding Christian. He may be. He's an entertainer from Britain that's made his way into a lot of our shows over here in the U.S. He says, just because you're offended doesn't mean that you're right. And you know, we can be offended by any number of things. Every day, we have just a tremendous opportunity to walk in offense. But we don't have to. You can choose. But you got to want to. Somebody once said, it's a question of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. So let it go. Change the things that you can change. Those are generally us, things that are within us. Don't worry about trying to change others. You can give them wise counsel. But you know, if you expect others to do what you tell them to do, guess what? You're trying to be the master, not the servant. That's not who we are called to be. Jesus said that in His realm that the least shall be first and the first shall be last. He turned everything around. We bear witness to others through our actions, not through our thumb pushing down upon them to try to hold them in bondage. Now, also, too, science changes every generation. You know, the diseases that we have, you know, bad smells, the position of the stars, Jewish people, they aren't the source of sickness. Although in the Middle Ages, that's what science said that it was. Now, should we respect human knowledge? Absolutely. God has poured out knowledge upon the people. But realize that we are also subject to new discoveries each and every generation, and many times within the generation. Just think about, you know, for those of us who have a few years of life on us, think about what the world was like whenever we were born into it, and think about what the world is like today. Things do change, and often for the better, but not always for the better. That's where discernment comes into it. But it would be very arrogant for us to think that we know all that we're going to know now. Human intellect fails, but God's wisdom is eternal. So are you going to follow the science fiction, or are you going to follow unchanging Scripture? You know, this book has gone through a lot of translations, but when we read this word, depending upon the book, somewhere between 1900 and 3400 years ago was when this was written. How many books do you see written today that last that long? How many news cycles do you see that last that long? This is the eternal Word of God that was given by inspiration to man. And if we look at Psalm 119 and 160, it says, all your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal. And again, going to the New Testament, if we go to John 14, 16, and 17, we have a promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, 16 and 17, said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he lives for you and with you, and will be in you." What a wonderful promise that we have within us the Spirit of God that will help us to discern the truth. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit, is discernment, is that we need to ask for that be enhanced in us in these last days, that we look and see when the world is trying to have its insidious words that it's pouring into us, that instead we are saying, "No, my God says." And we just stand upon that. Wallace Wattles, who was an author back in the 1800s, Christian books, he said, "Become aware of and recognize fully the fact that the principle of power within you is God Himself. You must consciously identify yourself with the highest." Spirituality is not just, you know, an ooh-woo. Spirituality is, I walk in what the Word says. I know the Word, I quote the Word, I live the Word, I believe the Word, I will not be swayed from the Word. Those are the things that we as Christians have to do today. So we have a teacher of truth and the spiritual gift of discernment, so we need to use them just like God intended. Now, why is that so important? It's because the enemy is working through wicked souls trying to mislead you and to cloud your thoughts. And especially with the young people, I pray so often for our young people that they have somebody in their path that will speak to them wise words and help them and speak to them in ways that they can understand. Because I know, you know, I'm not so foolish as to say, if I go out and I talk to one of my grandkids, you know, I can talk to them about, you know, toys and loving and play, and I can demonstrate to them. But if I try to have a real heart-to-heart with them, I don't speak that language. I wish I did, but I don't. It would be foolish, but there are others that speak that language that they can come in contact with, and I pray for that connection, that interaction. So, in Psalm 58, 3 and 4, Psalm 58, 3 and 4, it says, "Even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward, spreading lies. Their venom is like the venom of a snake." It's poison to us. And David wrote about this in a heartfelt prayer in Psalm 120 and 2, said, "Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues." There are so many of those that are out there. You know, if David needed this, how much more do we need it? I can tell you, you know, the days of Walter Cronkite are completely gone, and this is the way it is. You know, this is not the way it is. This is the way we want you to believe that it is. And both sides, again, you know, there's propaganda on both sides of the fence. I'm not picking a side. I have a side, but it is not my duty when I am up here. My duty up here is to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Do I have opinions? Absolutely. Are you entitled to them? When you ask. But not from this place. This is a holy place. This is for God's word, not the words of any man or woman. But the news is now media entertainment. If you look at it, they're all entertainment companies. And the way that they survive is they sell advertising, and they're selling advertising to a demographic base. You know, if you watch CNN, chances are you're pretty progressive. If you watch Fox, chances are you're pretty conservative. If you look at the advertisements, at the commercials that are run on each of those platforms, you will see the demographic that they are trying to sell into. So they slant the news and prune the news. You can say something that is still true, but if you leave part of it out, or if you slant it a certain way, you can create a different viewpoint. But because of that, they're able to get those advertising dollars, and you do get more opinions than facts, and more agenda than information. Another thing that Ricky Gervais said is, opinions don't affect facts, but facts should affect opinions, and do if you are rational. Now, I don't know if you ever heard of Ayn Rand. She's the one that wrote the Atlas Shrugged books, and they actually made three movies about it. She was a very conservative author back in the 1950s. She said that rationality is the recognition of the fact that nothing can alter the truth and nothing can take precedence over that act of perceiving it. So people, truth, as the world would like us to believe, is not situational. Truth is not relational. There's no such thing as my truth. There is truth, and that's it. And it's not interpretive or subject to change. It is eternal. I am the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, in 1 John 4:6, says, "We're from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." So there's a test there. If somebody is receiving God's word in agreement, then what they are doing is true. If they disagree with God's word, it's an evil opinion, possibly. Could still be true. Just because it is the world doesn't mean that it's always untrue. But there's a whole bigger possibility, because most people in the world, opinion is based upon the wrong heart. And for those who disagree are probably the same one that, you know, think murdering babies is okay. You know, my grandma used to, she's a good old Okie woman. One of the things that she used to always say when somebody did something stupid, she'd always say, "Well, God bless their sweet little heart." And I remember that a lot. And the other thing that she said, and she didn't mean it, that, you know, we thought that we were better than them or anything else. It's just that, you know, Scripture tells us that we are not to be tied together with people who are in the world. So she used to always say, "Well, son, those are just not our kind of people." And we've got to, as Christians, that's not a wrong thing. That is a thing that is discerning. If we group ourselves with people who are unholy, who are servants of evil, then we are putting ourselves in a bad place. Now, you know, you can say, "Oh, yeah, but I'm there just witnessing to them." Well, you know, that sounds really good, but the chances are, when you look at the results, more people are swayed down because of our inherent fallen nature than are lifted up because of our holy nature. There is a selfishness that's out there. Now, I want to give you one other piece of scripture here. Proverbs 6:16-19. Proverbs 6:16-19. Says, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes." A lot of people question that. Haughty eyes. Well, you know, we used to always give our daughter a bad time because there would be something she didn't like and she'd roll her eyes. Well, that's haughty eyes, but more than anything else, it's looking down upon someone. When you think that you are elevated above them, when you are walking in pride, that is haughty eyes. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, excuse me, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. You know, you could rack up at least six of those by being a news anchor for CNN or NBC. It's kind of sad, but, you know, and are all news people bad? Absolutely not. There's some very, very good people out there, but there's also some you have to be incredibly aware of what their agenda is. And their agenda is not always good. You know, not all who glow are bright candles who light the way. Sometimes what that'll do is, you know, like at Halloween, they'll use lighted candles to lead you into a haunted house. And, you know, people, we don't need to spend time in a haunted house. Only ghost we want around us is Holy Ghost. You know, we want God's mercy, God's love, God's discernment in our lives. So, there's quite a bit more that I could cover here, but we're getting pretty close, and I don't want to keep you too long. Just a couple more points, and we'll be closing up. 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15, and it says, it's no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Now, Satan, we often think of him as the tempter. He is. He does put temptations out, but he also is the accuser. Oh, you don't believe in rights for everybody? You don't believe that we don't allow people in the United States to be able to vote? You think that we should close ourselves up? You know, if the world wants to come in, you should all come in. Doesn't it say in your scripture that you should open your gates to the sojourners? You hypocrite. So we've got that finger that's pointing at us. And you have to be very careful because, you know, when we get that pointed at us, it's easy to be able to say that, yeah, I am guilty of that. But is it guilt or is it walking in what you are supposed to walk in? If we're doing it because of any selfish ambition, if we're doing it because we have something that we think we're going to gain, if we're doing it because we want to impress somebody, those are wrong reasons. Again, we can do the same thing with a different heart, and God will judge it differently, depending upon what our motivations are. So, you know, it's not just the news, but it's Hollywood as well, corporations. Schools have become grounds of indoctrination rather than education. But governments have changed little. You know, when you look at somebody that's in politics, usually it's a means to gain riches and power. Yeah, I don't mean to pick on them too much, but they're just pretty easy targets. You know, look at Nancy Pelosi and her husband. You know, Warren Buffett should take lessons from Nancy Pelosi's husband because look at how much money that they are racking in the stock market. They're doing a whole lot better than Warren Buffett, who's supposed to be the very best person about it, is doing. Oh, but if you have the ability to legislate things that may affect the companies that you are buying stock in, and if you know things that are coming up, you know, maybe our wisdom would be that we follow what the Pelosi's are doing and we buy exactly those same stocks. Boy, we might have an incredibly well-funded church if we followed that. Amen? So, just, you know, be very, very careful because there's a lot of prophets that are out there, and again, you know, I apologize, sometimes I get a little caught up in rabbit holes. There's some other things that I'd love to have shared with you, but we still have another time. So just to kind of wrap this up, I'm so very thankful that we're spared that Jesus bore for us what we deserved to give us what only He deserved. You know, today I gave you a lot of quotes. Here's one of mine. Truth may form opinions, but opinions do not form truth. Truth is formed when we stay in line with the Word of God, when we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, when we spend time in meditation. I'll tell you, you know, if you're not, and I hope that everybody is, and I'm not saying it's the right way, different people have different ways of praying, but I know myself, one of the things that I incorporate very frequently, two things. Number one, is every morning I get up and I anoint myself with oil because I am anointed for your kingdom. You have called me, not because I'm worthy, not because I have talent, not because I have gifts, not because of anything that I am, because I'm nothing, but everything that you are, if I am obedient to you, I am anointed for your work. And each and every one of you are. We are a body. You know, I am not going to despise my big toe in favor of the fact that I love my hand. They are both incredibly necessary. It would be very hard for me to walk without being off balance without my big toe. It would be very hard for me to manipulate and pick something up without my hand. Every one of us has a purpose. Every one of us has a calling. Every one of us has a duty. We are called not to come to church. We are called to be the church. Amen? So stay in the one truth of God, because that's the thing that never, ever wavers. But please be informed and not just opinionated. We should always know why it is that we believe what we believe. Because, you know, the mind, again, we are in a fallen world. We are a fallen people. But God has lifted us up. He's cleaned us up. And He's given us all of these wonderful gifts. And we need to use them. And I'm going to urge you to all take a stand. If you're a Christian, that stand is probably not very popular. So if you're concerned about what the other people are going to think about and say about, if you are not willing to open yourself up to a bit of ridicule, that might be too hard. Pray for strength. But whether it's popular or not, if it's righteous, it shows where we stand with God rather than where we stand with man. Anybody with a popular opinion can make a statement. You want to get a whole lot of followers on Facebook. You want to get a bunch of people on Instagram. You want to have a whole bunch of twits follow your tweets. Then, you know, if you sit there, if you follow that agenda, if you follow that popular mindset, and you are part of that narrative, then yeah, sis room ba, we're going to support everything that you do. But if you take a stand and says, God says that's not holy. Huh. Yeah, you're one of those people that follow the invisible guy in the sky, huh? Yeah, we know that you aren't very smart. Let's see you prove it scientifically that there's a God. Well, let me challenge you the other way. Let me see you prove it scientifically there's not. Some things we have to accept on faith. You know, even in a court of law, there's circumstantial evidence that can sway a case. I have enough circumstantial evidence in my life and testimony from the lives of others that there's no way I'm not going to believe that God is real and God is able to make things happen and occur. And for me to think that all of this that we look around us happened just because, well, I can go over to Home Depot and set off a stick of dynamite and have it blow everything of that lumber yard into a house, right? It just doesn't work like that. There is divine guidance that we see in creation. So, instead of having fellowship with the world, make sure that we always have fellowship with Christ. That may seem kind of hard right now, but I guarantee you that you will be eternally glad that you did. Because when we go before the judgment throne, I'll tell you, this is my biggest fear. I go before the judgment throne of Christ, and I am asked, did you do what I called you to do? And at this point in time, my answer is, well, some of it. That's not a good answer. We want to collect those crowns that God has stored up for us so we can throw them back to Him. We want to give Him glory. We want to join in the angels and sing hallelujah. And the way we do that is by following the basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen? If there's anybody here that questions whether they are aligned with the Spirit of truth, or whether they are swayed by the world, then I'm not going to ask you to come up to the altar, but I will ask that you stand in place and that we will have prayer and that we will have cleansing and that we will honor the gift of truth, the Holy Spirit that was given to us as a counselor, as a companion, as a friend, as a discerner of knowledge, that we would walk according to the statutes, and not walk according to the lies, the misrepresentations, the agendas of the earth in which we live. God is so much better. And I'm looking around and praying that everybody is in that right relationship. Everybody is spending time with God. Everyone is spending time in the Word. When we read in the Word in the New Testament, we are given a set of armor to protect us shields to guard against the arrows that come from the enemy. And we're given one weapon. We're given a sword, which is the Word of God. And I hope that everybody spends time to do that. Anybody, you know, have you seen either version of The Karate Kid? You know, one of the things I loved in that scene is wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. Word in, word out. Word in, word out. Word in, word out. If we don't put that word within us, then we are traveling without our weapon against the enemy. Anytime that enemy wants to come against us, we need to be able to say, by the word of God, this is what is declared as truth. Devil, get thee under my feet. The Lord rebuke you. And here's something else I'm going to share right quick before we go, is don't think that you're tough enough to beat the devil. He's got a lot more years on you, a whole lot more experience on you, and he's got wiles that have been proven to work over and over and over again. We do not defeat the devil based upon our words. We beat the devil based upon God's words, upon His authority. He is the one who fights the battle. We show up and we reap the riches. We take the spoils of war, and the thief has to return back sevenfold. We thank you for that. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time that we have had together. I just bless your people, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you and God bless you. I love every one of you. Thank you so much for being here. Keep us looked up on Facebook. We'll let you know what's going on for Wednesday and Sunday. We don't anticipate any changes, but just in case, we just want to make sure that everybody is aware. God bless you all. Thank you.